Let's turn our attention back to the book of Proverbs. We have arrived in that part of the Proverbs that it is just one proverb right after another. And topics get repeated over and over again. I'm going to repeat my advice to you that if you can, have a little notebook or something where you can jot down certain references that grab your heart or which you think might be useful in somebody else's life. Because these things are intended to be memorized. They're little bitty pithy statements, easily memorized, so that they will help us or young people that we're dealing with to learn how to be wise, to learn how to avoid foolishness, to do things God's way. And this is for a well-rounded individual, a hard worker, a righteous person. And so please make it useful to you. I've also made the recommendation from time to time, not original to me. I don't even remember who I heard it from the first time. There are 31 chapters in this book. There are a maximum of 31 days in a month throughout the year. 28, maybe 29 on February. So if you have nothing else that you're using for a devotional tool, just read whatever chapter of Proverbs the number of the date of the month is. And I guarantee you, you will find something useful for you in that reading. So Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to pick up at verse number 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So righteous people are blessed. Wicked people end up causing trouble. And ain't that the truth? Verse number 7. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. So righteous people tend to be remembered fondly when they're gone. But wicked people, they may be remembered, but it is not well. I mean, it's the difference between famous and infamous. There are a lot of people, when we invoke their name, it is almost as a curse. And this is another thing we'll see from the Proverbs, is Solomon's basically saying, if it's a good thing, I'm saying, do it. If it's a bad thing, don't do it. Verse number 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. So wise people are ready and willing to learn what it takes to be better people. But foolish people, people who don't think there's any ultimate authority over their lives, they're just going to go on and on about how they know what's best for themselves, and nobody's the boss of them, and they can't be told what to do. And, well, we all know that doesn't end so well in most cases for those folks. Verse number 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Now, what in the world is integrity about? Integrity is living up to the principles that you say that you believe in. So whoever walks in integrity walks securely. If you practice what you preach, then you're going to have a better lifestyle. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. You know, somebody that says one thing and then does another, none of us are happy when we find out that that's the case, right? We call them two-faced, we call them hypocrites, and we don't trust them anymore because not a word that comes out of their mouth is trustworthy because they don't keep their word. Verse 10, whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. Now, this is not the nice winking of the eye, you know, from a husband to a wife or vice versa. This is the winking as in a signal, how to trick people, how to take advantage of them. And that's always causing trouble. And then we get the repeat of the babbling fool will come to ruin. You know, the person that doesn't think anything really applies to them. Rules for thee and not for me, right? That idea. Verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. See, it brings life. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So righteous people try to say what's best for others. It's the building up idea, the edification idea that we see in the New Testament. You know, the only thing that should be coming out of your mouth is something to help other people do better in the sight of God. Sometimes it has to be a strong critique. That's true. But your ultimate goal is not to tear them down and destroy them. It is to help them realize they can do better than that. Now, the mouth of the wicked, on the other hand, they don't care. They'll say hurtful things because, well, they want to hurt people. They want to be mean. You know, if somebody says something to them that they don't like, then they have to up the ante and say something even nastier. Verse number 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Now, this is interesting because this proverb is actually referenced by both Peter and James. 1 Peter 4:8, James 5:20. Hatred is non-commitment. And so when you're not committed to someone, you don't care whether they get into fights and arguments with other people. In fact, you might benefit from them getting in fights and arguments with other people. There are some people out there that they stir the pot just so that they can laugh about all the chaos that happens, or that they can sweep in afterwards and use it to their advantage. That's not good. But love, God love, the love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13, the love of God, agape is the Greek term, the New Testament term. It's the commitment love. It's the love that is selfless. It is the love that looks out for the other person, what's best for the other person, regardless of what it might cost ourselves. That type of love covers all offenses. It doesn't cover them up in the sense of doesn't deal with them, but rather it gets past them. Verse 13. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. Remember, the fear of he who is the beginning of wisdom. And so the scripture is a massive resource for understanding God's word, God's way. And so that's what needs to be in our lips. And a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. Now, this is the first time I think we've seen this. The rod here is a reference to corporal punishment. It's the paddle, if you will. Now, I know, I'm well aware that corporal punishment is kind of out of favor in our modern day society. Part of that is because it was abused inappropriately. But corporal punishment, when appropriately applied, is a small amount of temporary physical pain to remind people, hey, your rejection of authority is inappropriate and it needs to stop. Corporal punishment was not intended to deal with accidents. It was intended to deal with a bad attitude of, you're not the boss of me, you can't make me do it, I don't care. Because sometimes physical negative consequences are the only things that people understand. So that's what it means here, is that a rod, a public spanking, for adults even, is for the back of him who lacks sense, who won't comply with appropriate behavior. Verse number 14, the wise lay up knowledge, so they store it away. But the mouth of the fool brings ruin near. So wise people put things away for future use. But foolish people run off at the mouth and get themselves in trouble in the here and now. And again, not a good choice. What's that one saying? Never let your mouth write a check that your body's not willing to cash, something like that. So that's kind of what he's warning against here. Verse 15, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. Now, this is an example of one of the Proverbs that just says, this is the reality of the world. Rich people have enough resources that they can feel secure in those resources. But poor people, the ones that lack the necessities of life, they're in a mess. And his warning, I think, to his kids is, you don't want to make choices that bring poverty upon yourself and put you in that position. Verse 16, the wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. So pretty much all of us had to go out and find a job, and we've had a series of jobs through our lives, and we do this because we need a paycheck to pay off the bills of life. So the wage of the righteous leads to life. There's a pragmatic application to that. But there is a spiritual application as well. And we see a little bit of this imagery, I suppose, is the best way to put it, in Paul's book of Romans. Romans, is it 6:23, I think? The wages of sin is death. That's the second part of this. If you work for sin, you're going to get a paycheck, all right, but the paycheck is going to be eternal death. That is, being separated from God for all eternity. That's not good. The free gift of God is eternal life, is the rest of what we see in the book of Romans. And so we definitely want to be part of the group that hears, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your master's rest. Because Jesus is coming back to pay back what everybody worked for in their life. The righteous, depending upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit's leadership, they get eternal life. The unrighteous, again, the wages of sin is death. Verse 17. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Now that is problematic. If we're paying attention to instructions, that's going to keep us on the straight and narrow, particularly when we're paying attention to God's instructions. But the reality is that those who blow God's instructions off, they don't just impact on themselves, they end up impacting other people. Because their choices reverberate outward. And sometimes people get caught up in those consequences. You think about the choices of some people to engage in such sinful behavior that their families are harmed, family members are harmed, or people in the public are harmed because of these poor choices. And then you even have instruction. Some bad people try to teach bad things to those within their circle. And this is not good. Verse 18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. So people who hate other people very often lie about them, very often slander them, talk badly about them, make innuendos and all sorts of things. And so this is Solomon's way of saying, don't get engaged in that. Don't be party to that sort of defamation, destruction of other people's character. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. This is kind of the concept that James has in mind when he talks about that, my brethren, you should be quick to hear, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, right? Some people today have said, you have two eyes and two ears and one mouth, because you should do a lot more of the first two, watching and listening, than you do of the last one, talking. So we need to think before we speak and make sure that what we're about to say is in alignment with what we've been taught by God. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. So people who speak God's words, it's like they've got silver tongues. Now, sometimes that phrase gets used about somebody that's conning other people. Let's not use it in that context. We're talking about it being valuable. But people's hearts, remember, hearts are where you make your choices in Hebrew thinking. Wicked hearts are worthless. You don't want to have a wicked heart. You want to have a silver, righteous tongue. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So this is a pragmatic reality that righteous people think about others than just themselves. And so they do and say things to help other people out. But foolish people, they can't even sometimes take care of themselves because they are so foolish. Verse 22, the blessing of he who is makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now again, remember my warning, don't think of rich and poor in the way many people refer to it today. Poor is not having enough to survive on. You don't have the necessities of life. It's a mess. Rich means you have more than you need. You may not have a lot more than you need, but you are still, you've got your necessities. And so that makes you rich in a way. And I'm guaranteeing you, we Americans are very rich when compared to the rest of the world. I urge you, if you've never gone on a short-term missionary trip to another country, what we typically refer to as a third world country, to help churches and missionary groups ministering to the people in those countries, please go do it, because you're likely to never complain again about your own lifestyle, because we are so much blessed here in the United States, even when we're the poorest people. I grew up poor. And I don't just mean as a kid. There were some pretty lean years for myself and my wife and our son when I was going to undergraduate school, where we just barely had enough food to go around, and we weren't always altogether certain where the money was going to come to pay the bills. The Lord provided, though. But even in that situation, we had so much more than the people in other countries. So The blessing of he who is makes us rich, makes us understand we have enough. And he doesn't add sorrow with it. We're happy. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. But wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Now, this one kind of makes me irritated. Not the passage, but the fact that I see it. Some people think it's funny to post things online that are just wrong and mean and destructive and hateful and thoughtless toward other people. They think it's a joke. It's not a joke. It's not funny. It needs to stop, especially if you are a believer. See, true wisdom, God's wisdom, is what brings us pleasure. It makes us happy when we see God's way being carried out rather than the way of the world. So if you've engaged in some of that inappropriate meanness online, please repent. Verse 24. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. Now, what does the wicked dread? Well, he probably dreads getting busted, dreads getting caught, and the consequences that come from that. And sooner or later, if not here in this world, in the world to come, that will happen. But what's the desire of the wicked? The desire of the righteous. The desire of the righteous is to be with the Lord. Well, that's going to be granted. That will happen. Verse 25, when the tempest passes, that is the storm, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. So here, the storm is a metaphor for life itself, which sometimes our lives are full of storm. When the storm passes by and everything is finished, the wicked people will be dealt with by God and we won't be thinking about them anymore. But the righteous, they will live forever in the presence of God Almighty. Verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth, think about a pinhole cavity, okay? Like vinegar to the teeth, you know, makes that pain. And smoke to the eyes, you know, getting a big bunch of smoke from a campfire or some guy that was smoking a cigarette right next to you on the street. Boom, it burns big time, right? Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Meaning he is an irritant. Why is he an irritant? Because he's lazy and he's not likely to get the job done right. Okay, this is a proverb against laziness. Verse 27. The fear of he who is prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Don't need a lot of explanation of that. We've talked about it before. The impragmatic reality, if you do things God's way, you're much less likely to get yourself in trouble and dead early. Verse 28, the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectations of the wicked will perish. See, I'm looking forward to spending eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ and all his people. Man, I've got a whole list of people I want to see, and I got a whole list of questions I want to ask famous people. And boy, oh boy, I'm glad we've got eternity to do all this stuff. So I look forward to that. But for some people who don't believe in eternity, don't believe in God, they dread this life being over. And we can fix that for them. We could help them discover the joy of the Lord. Verse 29, the way of he who is the stronghold to the blameless, or is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The path of God, the way of God, the lifestyle of God is what gives us a place of confidence and strength. The people who don't believe in God, they don't have that. It ends up being destructive to them because they know God's judgment will fall upon them eventually. This way of the Lord, highlight that in your head. The early Jewish name for the church was the Way. And that didn't come just simply from Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It came from a whole bunch of places in the Old Testament, like this one right here, that talked about the way of the Lord. Verse 30, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. Now, this has to do with eternity again. This heaven and earth going to pass away, new heaven and earth going to come into existence, and guess who will be here? The righteous people, and the wicked won't be in that place. The meek shall inherit the new earth, the new land. And so this is along those lines. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Now, it puts a word picture in your mouth, but the idea is people who don't speak right, God's going to cut that out of the equation. The lips of the righteous knows what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Highlighting between the two sides. And of course, the teaching here, the implication from King Solomon is, hey, let your lips be righteous, because that's the right thing to do. Don't have a wicked mouth. That's bad. And so let's teach these precepts to our own hearts and teach them to our young people and the people in our church that have come to Jesus Christ. We'll get back to this next time we get into the Word.